Turning again to that portion of the word that we read together, and Isaiah and chapter 12. And we may just read in verse 4. And in that day shall we say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. But I would like to look at the whole psalm and go through it briefly, verse by verse, this morning. Well, friends, as we have come to another year in our life's journey, first day of another year, another milestone in our lives. And of course, we cannot but be looking back, and we pray also looking forward, not knowing what lies ahead, but knowing what has happened in our experience in the year that has gone by. For some, it's been a time of great joy and gladness. For others, have known sadness. And for some, both indeed, sometimes of joy and gladness and also sad experiences. But that is how it has always been, and that's how it always will be while this world continues. Another milestone in our lives. It's not so long, it seems to some of us anyway, that the thought of 2020 was like science fiction to us. Hard to believe that would be. It seemed to be so far away. But here it is now, friends, another year, another era in our experience, another day as well. And another year and another day must also mean for us another year and certainly another day nearer our end in this life. And for all of us, that is true, even for the youngest child here. From the day we are born into this world, while we are, in a sense, growing up to adulthood, but there is also another sense where we are heading toward our great end in this world. We know, of course, for some who began the year, 2019, that they haven't seen the end of it in this life, but thankfully for some, and it's an amazing thought, an encouraging thought, I think, for some of us, friends, that even those who have been taken from us, for some of them, they are glad now, with a joy and a gladness that we cannot even imagine for them. And while there is sorrow left behind in hearts, there is a joy that is beyond our comprehension, but a joy also that each of us, if we believe in Christ, can look forward to. And when we look back at the year that has gone by, therefore we have seen many changes in our own experience, many changes around us in this world as well. Well, some might say, well, I don't see much change since last New Year. Well, my friend, if you are thinking like that, surely you should consider things. That's being willfully blind to the reality. And even if you don't see any changes in many things and not too much change in yourself, surely you will realize, if you are here today, you will know this at least, what I said earlier, that to realize that life is going on, time is going on, your life is coming nearer and nearer and nearer to the day when you will have to give an account to the Lord. Some people will see and identify obvious changes in their lives, in their experiences. Here we see the prophet Isaiah. There is a looking back, as we've read in one chapter, and a looking forward as well regarding the Messiah that was to come. And here we see there's a looking forward in chapter 12 here. And the looking forward is important. And it must be also surely important for ourselves. And we see here that quote that we have, or the words that are used, in that day. And you'll find that if you went through Isaiah, it is, these are words that he uses over 40 times. They are recorded in Isaiah, in that day. And for ourselves then, as we look forward to that day, how do we look forward to it? We don't know what lies ahead. None of us do. Will there be changes? Absolutely. Changes? Definitely. But friends, if we come and look ahead with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Isaiah did here, we can look forward with expectation and great hope, whatever comes into our experience in this world. I do it very much, friends. If exactly the same congregation will meet here a year from now, it is very, very likely that it will not be so. Some will have gone. Some may be new people coming. Some not able to come and gather with us any longer. But that doesn't matter if we have made our peace with God before then. Whatever else happens, if we have that hope, that sure whatever change comes into our experience. Well, friends, I would like us then, briefly this morning, to consider the changes or the different days that are brought before us here in the 12th chapter, in that day. Well, I would suggest to you, going through, and again briefly, obviously, each verse here, there are different days brought before us here. And the first day we have here in verse 1 is a day of comfort. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Now, what is it that has brought the great comfort into your own experience? Is it not what we have brought before here? Thine anger is turned away. Oh, what comfort that gives the believer today. To know for yourself that the anger of God against you for your sinfulness has been turned away. And surely one of the first things every Christian, when they become Christians, isn't this one of the things that you are immediately made aware of? This hope that you have, that God is no longer angry with you, and so you are comforted by that. His anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. I was a child of wrath, but I am now, by God's grace, a child of mercy. And then you realize now what you were and what you are. And that great transformation, while you know you are not what you would wish to be, nevertheless, there is some comfort in this, that you know that God has begun a work in your life, and that he is still working in your life. And in that, surely, there must be comfort for you. To know that the Lord has mercy on you, surely that's the greatest comfort that any person could have. And whoever you are here today, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know this for yourself. Is that not what you should be praying for? To have this comfort, but you can only have that comfort and that assurance if you know the wrath of the Lord being turned away from you. And when this becomes a reality to any, friend, what a day that is. Oh, Christian, remember the day for yourself when you realize this, that the Lord had had mercy upon you, and what comfort that gave you, and what a day that was in your experience. And what a day if you, anyone here, could begin this new year in this way. And that way then, to look forward in the comfort of knowing that one day you will be with Christ. Whatever else happens, it is a day of comfort then. Comfort will come for those who know this. The wrath of God no longer may be weighing down your soul. That conviction maybe has been turned into peace with God in your experience. No longer do you feel enmity with God, no longer with the fear of God as it once was. And what do you find then when his anger is turned away and you know this for yourself? Well, surely the comfort that is there. The comfort of what? Knowing that another has taken what you deserved. Another has stood in your place. Another, Christ Jesus, your Savior, has done all that you could not do. And what comfort to know him, an encouragement in the soul that another has borne for you what you know the punishment that you deserved. And what does that bring to your soul? Well, surely comfort. It brings peace surely as well to you. Thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. What a difference. What a transformation now is brought before you here. The very one you know had a right to be angry with you, to be eternally angry with you. You now discern his pardoning grace. You now know something of his peace in your life. And now you know something of being reconciled through the blood and sacrifice of another. That the righteous, as it were, the righteous, holy, holy, just fist of God that was ready to smite you down and now has become an open hand and loving arms to embrace you to himself. There is no greater comfort for any in this world than this. Having this hand of faith, as it were, reached out and you reaching out to him. No longer that anger against you, but peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This loving, gracious arm of God reaching out to you and drawing you to himself. No longer casting you away, but drawing you to himself. This is what we have, the comfort that is here for all who will come. And now, because of that, O Lord, I will praise thee. There's the great, as it were, result. And the person, whoever you are here today, when you know that the anger of God is turned away and you're comforted, there is no silence then. There is praise and worship and seeking to honor and to glorify the Lord. And so we see then that great day is in the experience of all who come to have faith in Christ. It is a day of great comfort and praise. But then we see also, obviously, it goes on to verse 2 here, it is a day of salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Having realized that the anger is turned away, this person now realizes, God is my salvation. Do you know that experience for yourself this morning here? Do you know something of that in your day-to-day life? And on this new day and a new year, can you say this for yourself today? God is my salvation. And if there is that, there will be trust, there will be faith, there will be that measure of assurance in this Savior. When fear, as it were, is taken away, what does it say here? My salvation, what follows on? I will trust and not be afraid. Why? Because he has become my salvation. And you cannot have trust, and you should be afraid if he's not your Savior. But if he has become your salvation, then you need not be afraid. Here is a comfort to us. Here is an encouragement to us at the beginning of a year to know this in our own experience. Fear is taken away. Oh, before then, there was the fear of the day of judgment. There was the conviction maybe that was there of a lost eternity. The fear of judgment was there. But the day you come to truly believe that that is removed, that's not to say we don't think about it often, but you believe the promises. and that they are yea, amen, in Christ Jesus. And that is a comfort, is it not? Isn't that a comfort in the midst of everything else that goes on? The promise is that when God saves and you believe it, as it were, you stay saved. And what joy that will bring. And that day of salvation, I will trust, he says, and not be afraid. This great Jehovah, what is he? He is now, he says, my strength and my song. He is my strength and my song. Not only is he my strength, but he's the one I praise. Oh, to lift up our praise to God, to worship him, to sing his praises. This is the experience of the Church of Christ in every generation, the experience of every believer, wherever they are today, because they know this. This is what a believer is, one who has come to trust in the Lord, one who knows their sins are forgiven. And when you know that, friend, you cannot be silent. He is my strength, yes, and my song. He has put a new song in your mouth. Strength and song. And Christ himself and what he has done, is he not the subject matter, as it were, of your praise? Is he not what is there before you as you praise and worship him? It is Christ himself at the center of it all. He has become your strength and your song. That is why we can sing from our hearts the word of the psalmist, I love the Lord, because my voice and prayers he did hear. Oh, dear friend, today, can you say that from your heart on this new day for you? Is this indeed a day of salvation for yourself? Oh, it can be. What a wonderful thing if you are able to begin this year with this hope in your own soul, as it were, for the first time. No more trusting in self. No more thinking your own good works is all that you need. The Lord is your strength, your song, and your salvation. It speaks about, if you had time, you could think of more about the power there and the praise and the preserving of the Lord. What lies before me in 2020? Well, I don't know, you say. But you see, if the Lord is your salvation, it doesn't matter. You need not be afraid as we have it here. And so, friends, God is my salvation. He has become my salvation. I need not be afraid. So you see, it's a day of comfort, and then we have a day of salvation. But in verse 3 also, we have something else, a day particularly of rejoicing. Therefore, with joy, verse 3, shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Pictured here is obvious. It is one of coming to know the Lord, having come to Christ, you continue to draw sweet water, as it were, from him. And what are these waters? Well, there are many ways you could look at them. You can look about the sweet water of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, of love, all that drawn, found in Christ from the wells of salvation. Where do you come to find, to satisfy your thirst? To Christ himself. That well that has been opened up for sin and uncleanness. That well for cleansing, but also the well, the idea of satisfying your thirst. That well also, friends, that never runs dry. No one has ever come to this well and found there was nothing in it for them. If you have come and not found what you need there, it is not that the well is dry, my friends. It is not that there's any lack in Christ. It is because of your own lack of faith in reaching down, as it were, and taking from what is so freely offered. You see, he satisfies every thirst. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy. We need, friends, to have more of this joy. We need to have more of the joy in our own lives. We need to rejoice in the Lord. What does the apostle say? Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Friends, we should rejoice. Not with a foolish smile and empty laughter. But there should be a joy in our hearts. Why? Because of what he has done. and what he has done for us, particularly if we are the Lord's. And notice here as well, at the beginning of verse 3, that word is important, therefore. Therefore. Because what is that based? The therefore, why do we have joy that we draw water? Because of what has gone before in verse 1 and 2. For the Lord is my strength and my song has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water. There's the reason that he has done this for you, that he has done all that you need. What do you receive from Christ when you trust in him and you're saved? What you need every day. Grace in time of need. Here, as we say, is a deep well. And if you come to that well with that bucket, if you want the bucket of faith that you let down, believing and trusting. And when you lower your bucket into this well, it'll never come up empty. If you're just casting out in faith, you will find grace in time of need, an abundance more than you can ever ask or think. I dare say you know that for yourself, Christian. How often have you gone to the well and the Lord has supplied your need? So often the problem is that we don't go often enough and are unwilling to, as it were, make the effort to go and to satisfy ourselves. Isn't it amazing? The most blessed times of our lives is when we feel the sense of the presence of the Lord with us and we rejoice in it. And yet sometimes how reluctant we are to go back again to the same place, as it were, where we know this is where our needs will be satisfied, the grace that we need. And so, friends, therefore, we can come each day with joy as we draw water out of the wells of salvation, knowing that the Lord is my strength and my song. This is what happens now. And how wonderful it would be, as I said already, if this 2020 day would be the beginning for some here of coming to Christ and coming to this well that is opened up there for you. Oh, what joy that would be. You know, we speak here about with joy you draw water. Joy for the person who does this and knows this for themselves. But what joy also would be in heaven, in the presence of the angels of God over a sinner repenting in Stornoway congregation today. And what joy there would be amongst the Lord's people here if someone you would come anew and taste and see what they have tasted. Come into this well. Oh, they wouldn't say, stay away, there's not enough for you and me. They would say, come, come, there's plenty for all to take. Take your fill, friend. Christ is all that any of us need. Everything is here that we need. And the oftener you come, you know what you'll find? The thirstier you'll get. And there's an addictiveness, if you like, if I can use that word, about Christ. Once you have tasted, nothing else satisfies. And once you have tasted, the more you taste, the more you want of him. And the more you desire, and the more you rejoice in what he has done for you. Oh yes, so many, sadly as many of us did, for far too long in the broken systems of this world. But here now is fresh water. Here is life-giving water. Here is all that you need, not just for time, but also for eternity. And what rejoicing then should be ours today if any of us have tasted and seen that God is good. Whatever else is in your experience, friend, is in this what's most important to you. And you come with joy to draw water out of the wells of salvation. So then, there is a day of rejoicing here. But there's also then, if that is so, in verse 4, in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. It's also a day of proclamation. And what is Isaiah speaking about here? Well, surely, if anything else, it is this, make it known. Tell it. Don't keep it silent. Make mention that his name is exalted. Make mention that people will honor you not at all. Make mention that whose name is exalted. This is what should be the desire of the Christian. Not to keep silent. Not to us, Lord, not to us. But do thou glory take unto thyself. This is the psalmist elsewhere. That's the desire now. To make mention, to proclaim indeed what the Lord has done for my soul. Make mention of the Lord. Keep not silent. Isaiah says that in chapter 62. There's make mention of the Lord. Keep not silent. You see, tell it. Not just your own personal experience of being saved, but his willingness to save any and all who will come. This is what he's done for me. He can do the same for you. Make no mistake about it. This is what you can know for yourself. And surely this is part of what is in here. Declare his doings among the people, written in verse 4. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Friends, it's a shame to us when we're silent about what the Lord has done for us. We should proclaim it here. Oh, to be more like the woman at the well in Samaria. Come here, I'll tell. Come here, I'll tell what he did for my soul. Come see a man who told me all things. This is what we should be like. This is how we make mention that whose name is exalted. She didn't say, first of all, come see a man. Come see me until I look at me, the difference in me now. Come see a man who told me all things. Immediately, her desire was Christward. Come and see this man. He is the one. Dear friend in Christ today, you should be like that, telling others, come and see this Jesus. Come and I'll tell you about this Christ. Come and I'll show you from the scriptures what he is willing and able to do for you. We are to not to hide his doings for us in any way whatsoever. This is how we should be even today. Make mention that his name is exalted. Declare his doings among the people here. This is what we should, you know, wouldn't be a wonderful, we speak about New Year resolutions. Be a wonderful thing today if we would make a resolution that on this first day that we resolved to tell somebody we've never spoken to before about Christ, to tell them about him, to spread the news and the good news in that way. Oh, it's easy enough to speak to each other about Christ. And we should do, of course, to speak to one another about what he has done for us. But we need to reach out, friends. And that is necessary for us here as a congregation. Reaching out to others, inviting them to come, telling them to come here, see what the Lord has done for you and what the Lord can do for any. It is himself who will do it, that the glory would be his. This is above everything else. The glory would be his. And notice also here in this verse, in verse 4, there's also, this is not just going out blindly, but there is the call also upon his name, the place of prayer. Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. You see, the order there surely is important. It is call upon his name and then declare his doings among the people. It is with a prayerful spirit that this exhortation should be, our worship should be. Our friends, do nothing without prayer. Praise we have here. Praise, Lord, magnify his name. To speak more, friends, oh, to speak more of the beauty and the loveliness and the majesty of our Lord and Savior in the year ahead. That should be a resolve with us all. This one here. You see, friends, this is no time to be secret disciples. No time at all. We are to declare. It's a day of proclamation and declaration. Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. So it's a day of proclamation. And also in verse 5, it's a day of knowledge. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. This is known, or else it actually can be translated, let this be known in all the earth. That is a legitimate translation of these words. He hath done excellent things. Let this be known in all the earth. That is, that the gospel spreads and is spreading and should spread throughout the world. Here he says, he hath done excellent things. Everything he does, friends, is excellent. He never does anything but that which is good and which is above our asking or thinking. Here we have, it speaks about an excellently, well, surely that there is here excellent salvation, which excels everything else. Excellent things, he hath done excellent things. An excellent salvation. There's an excellent righteousness, which cannot be compared with anything else. There's the excellent sacrifice of himself, and there's no comparison anywhere to be found with it. There is also the excellent of an assured victory at the end of the day for the Christian. We have wonderful things to speak about. He hath done excellent things. For dear Christian, today have you lost sight of the excellency of what Christ has done for yourself? Is it as precious to you today as it was the day that you first came to know the Lord in your experience? Is that so for yourself today? That wonderful day that was in your experience. We are to tell others about it. Let all the earth know it. You know, friends, there is great ignorance, as you well know, in the world today. There is great ignorance around us here in our community. And part of that ignorance today is a result of our own unwillingness to tell others and to speak to others and to show by our lives what Christ is and what Christ can do. That we would resolve then, make this a day where we would indeed let this be known particularly. See, others would see that we have been with Jesus. That we would have this desire to know. And also notice, let himself know. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. Make known to himself. Sing his own praises. Tell him. You know, friends, I maybe mentioned this before, but how infrequent we tell him that we love him for what he has done. When was the last time in your own prayers that you even said these words? Oh, you think it, you say. It's all part of it. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Tell him as you tell others, and telling him more than anything else that he has done excellent things. After all, Christian, you say that he died for you. What could be more excellent than that in your experience? Is that not worth telling himself of and telling others about it as well? Let it be known. There is nothing more crucial for the world to learn in 2020 than this, what the Lord has done, that he is able and willing to save all who will come to him. Don't be the reason, dear friend, for any soul being lost by your silence. Tell him, tell them, he has done excellent things. This is known, let it be known in all the earth. So then it's a day of knowledge. And finally, in verse 6, we see it's a day of glory. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Who is this all for? For the inhabitant of Zion. And what does this speak about? Well, the inhabitant of Zion, it's It's actually just matter. It's in the feminine here. In other words, it's for the church. It's for the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ, the church of Christ, the believer, the inhabitant of Zion, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Believer, cry out and shout. Tell about this glory. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. The bride of Christ, she is the one who is here. Who is in the church? Notice also the Holy One of Israel. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Because he's in the midst of his church. And it's in that reason to cry out and to praise and to give all the glory to him. The one Isaiah calls elsewhere the Redeemer. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. In the midst of thee. The Lord Jesus himself. Here you see, friends, as it were, there's an urgency with Isaiah the prophet here. Verse 6, at the end of it, says, he's been saying all these things. Sing unto the Lord, praise the Lord with joy. God is my salvation. Then he finished. Cry out and shout. Don't keep it quiet, thou inhabitant of Zion. If you're of the church of Christ, you are to cry out and shout to tell. Why? Because of the one who's in the midst of thee, the Holy One of Israel, is what we have here. And surely today, dear friend, if you have been saved, if this is your experience, we are not to keep silence. I have been saved. I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. Isn't that reason to cry out and shout and to glorify his name? Surely it must be. So, dear friend, do you have that hope today at the beginning of 2020? To be able to look forward then to the glory that awaits. You may not know, and we do not know, what the year holds for us. We don't even know if we'll see the end of it, never mind another day of it, never mind the end of it. But then, what does that matter? If Christ is awaiting us, the hope of glory, the Holy One of Israel. And for you, Christian, here this morning, Christ is with you today because he's in his church as the glory of the church, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And very soon, maybe in the year that's to come, Christ is with you here, and you'll be with Christ. And you'll be with Christ only if Christ is with you here. And that should encourage us, friends, whatever the year holds for us. Oh, how wonderful it would be if every soul in here today would have that sure hope. Not based on a foolish notion, but based on the finished work of Christ. And that glory awaits because of that. It's a day indeed of glory that awaits. It's a day of glory in a sense when you come to faith in Christ. But it's a day, if I can say, of even greater glory when you go to be with Christ. That this day would be a special day. This year will be a special, never to be forgotten day or year in your experience. Coming to Christ. A day when heaven would ring with praises when a sinner repents of their sins and you're able to say in faith, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. So, friend, can you look forward to glory? Do you look forward to glory? You can do, and you should do, with joy in your heart, praising the Lord, calling upon his name. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. Died in your woman's stead. Oh, what shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? Go forward in his strength. Be encouraged, dear friend. Look unto Jesus in you. There's no better way to begin the year, not even to end it, but to go forward in his strength. So then, it's a day of comfort and salvation and rejoicing, a day of proclamation and knowledge and glory. Can you say that you can identify with what the prophet speaks about here? Well, blessed you are indeed if you know this in your own experience. Let us pray.